This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Two balls, two strikes. Turner leading off third. Muncy off second and Smith off first. Hudson sets the kick, the 2-2 pitch. Swing and a miss. He struck him out with a slider. And a curly W's in the books. The Nationals have tied this National League Division Series at a game apiece as Daniel Hudson walks a tightrope in the bottom of the ninth inning, and the game is over. The Nationals on the field to celebrate a victory as they even the series here in Los Angeles.
Yes, but like any good tightrope walker, he doesn't fall off of the rope. Daniel Hudson navigating potential disastrous situation last night, gets through it. An amazing catch by Anthony Rendon within that escape by Daniel Hudson. And the Nationals, here comes that word again, resilient. Yes, after getting their rear ends handed to them the night before, what do? They bounce back. And there is no doubt that if postseason had anything to do with it, Steven Strasburg would be emerging perhaps as a leading candidate for the Cy Young Award in the National League. Because if you put his two playoff appearances now, the dramatic relief appearance in the wild card game coupled with last night's start, where he just absolutely dominated one of the most powerful lineups in Major League Baseball, Steven Strasburg said, "Gentlemen, get on my shoulders. You can ride with me. We're going to ride to victory on this Friday night." It was an amazing performance by Strasburg, and I know some of you probably taken aback. You know, when you take him out of the game, everybody gets nervous. But, look, I mean, Davey Martinez last night made the, you know, if you're going to go lefty-lefty against that group, that was the lineup to do it at that portion of the lineup for the Dodgers, even though Strasburg had been dominating all of them. Max Muncy obviously barreled one up against Sean Doolittle. But when you see Max Scherzer come out of the bullpen and you're going, wow, this is a five-game series. You've got to do everything you can to secure any victory you have within your grasp. Now, I don't know, at some point Max Scherzer entertains doing what John Smoltz did to extend his career the way he did. Obviously, Max has not been as banged up as John Smoltz was during his career. But if there's ever been a guy that's had a tenacious closer-like mentality, Max Scherzer showed it to us last night. He struck out the side. Get out of here. It's all over. I'm Max Scherzer. You can't touch me. And then obviously Daniel Hudson navigated the ninth inning. The series is tied at 1. Game 3, Sunday night, of course, right here in D.C. at Nats Park, 7:45. First pitch coming up on Sunday night. And again, whenever you think everybody goes, I mean, everybody was already recognizing and readying the excuses. And it still could come to pass. The Dodgers, you know, won 106 games this year. That's all. They just won 106. They are the favorites in the series. But that doesn't mean they have to win the series. And the Nationals, last night, up against Clayton Kershaw, you know, doing what you need to do. He was struggling early and has struggled early in the past. But the adage has been, if you don't get to him early, you're not going to get to him after. And they didn't. They had chances to get there early, and you almost felt like, man, they should have gotten more out of that. Unfortunately, three runs was basically all they were getting at that point. And, of course, Howard Joseph Kendrick III, right in the middle of all of that in the first inning. Just when you thought they weren't going to get anything out of it, Howie Kendrick made sure they did.
Kershaw, the hands way up and come down to the set. The 2-1 pitch, swung on, hit hard, and through the hole. A base hit into left field. Turner scores from third. Up with it quickly is Pollock. And so Bobby Henley, the stop sign up for Anthony Rendon. The bases will still be loaded after an RBI single through the left side by Howie Kendrick. And the Nationals are on the board first here in the top of the first inning. It's the Nationals 1 and the Dodgers nothing.
And, of course, when you're facing Clayton Kershaw, one of the great challenges is swinging at pitches that are in the strike zone. Because I guarantee you, if you go over a number of Kershaw's outings, it is pretty close to 50-50, if not more, of his pitches end up out of the strike zone because of the devastating slider. Then end up in a strike zone. Because last night, even so, Kurt Suzuki, the rally ended when Kurt swung at a pitch that was probably about shin high. Now, big 6'7", big country Jordan Baker behind the plate last night. We had him as a home plate umpire when I was broadcasting the games with Charlie in Minnesota. And I do believe at times an umpire of that caliber, that height, he has trouble with a low pitch. But I give Baker, I thought Baker made a little bit more of an adjustment than when we saw him in Minnesota even earlier this month. I thought last night he got down a little bit lower. Knee bend was a little bit better. And I know everybody's going to look at that, the pitch that Anthony Rendon argued on. That pitch was a strike. It was a perfect pitch right at the bottom of the strike zone, but it did get the strike zone. So from that standpoint, you know, You got to stay in the strike zone against Kershaw. When he throws something from just below your chest to the knees, you've got to go attack that pitch because it might be the only pitch you get during the course of the at-bat. And if you don't do that, you're going to miss an opportunity of the very few opportunities there are against a player the caliber of Clayton Kershaw. Meanwhile, second inning, more trouble for Kershaw. Adam Eaton, who, look, lefty versus lefty against Kershaw is tough enough. But Adam Eaton, I thought last night, you know, had some, and again, since this dude has been healthy really in the second half of this year, Adam Eaton's played some really good baseball, great defensive plays, and now coming through in the clutch for the Nats last night.
Kershaw sets. And the 2-2 to Eaton. Swinging a line drive, base hit. Left center field. Robles around third will come in to score. Bellinger up with it. Will play it into second base. It's a clutch. Two out. RBI single for Adam Eaton. His first postseason hit. Drives in a run. It's the Nationals 2 and the Dodgers nothing. Rendon coming up with two out here at the top of the second inning.
So Eaton comes through there. And they're slowly building this lead against Clayton Kershaw. And Anthony Rendon, who, of course, his struggles over the last couple of weeks, when we started the series in Minnesota, Anthony Rendon was leading the National League at 337. All you have to do is look at the numbers. They plummeted almost 20 points the final couple of weeks of the season. 20 points, that's hard to do. That's a nasty slump at a bad time. But it's playoff time. Batting average is reset. And Anthony Rendon last night came through with a big knock for the Nationals, as they would eventually extend the lead against Clayton Kershaw last night in that top of the second inning.
Now the pitch. Rendon belts it a deep left center field. Bellinger going back, way back. Can he get there? No, it's off the wall and in play. Eaton around third being waved home. The relay throw will be held. He slides across the plate without a play. On a booming double off the wall for Tony Two Bags. Anthony Rendon with his first hit of the postseason drives in the second run of the inning, and you can hear the Nationals fans spread out around Dodger Stadium. Two runs home in the inning. It's the Nationals 3 and the Dodgers nothing.
Yeah, Mary Hart wasn't clapping, that's for sure, behind home plate. No, sir. Nationals up to a 3-0 lead in the early going, and eventually between that early rally and Steven Strasburg dominating, the crowd at Dodger Stadium really never a part of the contest. Meanwhile, early in the contest, by the way, blame the no-hitter getting broken up on Jamal Collier's tweet last night. He was the first one to start espousing about the no-hitter in the fifth inning. And, of course, eventually would get broken up by Will Smith. But one of the reasons why it was still alive, we've talked about it all year long, the work that Bob Henley has done defensively with Juan Soto and Victor Robles. Robles, you can argue, is a Gold Glove center fielder this year. And we know Juan Soto can hit, and this year's proven to us he can field the ball as well.
Strasburg offers, and a swing and a line drive toward the line. Soto chasing, he dives, and he caught it! Juan Soto lays out for a diving catch toward the line, robbing Kershaw of a hit, and the side retired here in the third. Strasburg with a fist pump as Soto lays out and makes a terrific play to end the third inning.
Absolutely, Juan Soto diving like my man Super Grover makes the play and keeps the no-hitter at that point intact. And again, showing you why he's turning into a great all-around player for the Nationals as he makes the diving catch there to end the inning. Strasburg, of course, rolling in this one through five innings, nine Ks. Corey Seager up at the plate last night. He was having some issues trying to find Strasburg's heat, curveball, changeup, you name it. He couldn't find it.
This will be the ninth pitch of the at-bat, the longest for any Dodger tonight. Here it comes on the way. Swing and a miss. He struck him out. Steven Strasburg with his ninth strikeout of the night. And he gets him with a changeup to retire the side.
So just up the coast from where he played college ball at San Diego State, Steven Strasburg was rolling last night for the Nationals. Justin Turner would reach him for a sacrifice fly in the bottom of the sixth inning to make it a 3-1 game. A.J. Pollock trying to do more damage, but as is often the case in the major leagues, you want your pitcher to not only be able to throw strikes, but sometimes they've got to be able to field their position.
Peterson at third. Here's the 1-0. Swing and a line drive caught by Strasburg. Look what I found. The inning is over. Strasburg snares the line drive off the bat of Pollock to retire the side and limit the damage.
I like it when I reach out and find something, especially if it's in the laundry, a $5 bill, $10 bill. If you're Steven Strasburg, heck, you might find a $100 bill if you reach inside your pockets, especially with the way he's pitching right now for the Nationals. But that defensive play, being able to field your position, ends the threat right there as the Nationals would lead it by a score of 3-1. Meanwhile, bottom of the seventh inning, Sean Doolittle. Again, the good news with Doolittle the last couple of outings, that velocity is definitely back. We're seeing him throw the fastball back up around the mid-90s. And sometimes when you throw it that hard, good hitters barrel it up, and it goes a long way.
Pitch. Swing a long drive right field. Eaton going back, looking up, and that one is long gone into the pavilion. Muncie jumps all over a first pitch fastball and makes this a one-run game. Nationals 3, Dodgers 2.
Smart game plan by Max Muncy. He ambushed Doolittle thinking first pitch fastball, and he got it, and he smoked it. That made it a 3-2 game. However, the Nationals, in the top of the eighth inning, would look to one of their flea market bargains of this 2019 season to come through and get a big add-on run for the Nationals as Asdrubal Cabrera came to the plate and Cabbie came through for the Nationals.
Now the pitch. Swing and a line drive. Base hit right center field. Through the drawn-in infield. Zimmerman scores from third. To third is Suzuki. They'll hold him. Now Cabrera caught in a rundown. Catcher throws to Seager. Seager to Lux running him towards second. And Cabrera into a slide. Pops up and is tagged out. So Cabrera around first. I think he thought Suzuki was trying to score. And wanted to make sure the throw was cut off. And so mistake there for the Nationals back in front by two with a runner at third and two out after an RBI pinch hit single by Cabrera. It's the Nationals 4, the Dodgers 2.
Not legal. I'm sure if Tim Bogar could reach out and tackle his base runner at that point and say, oh, right here, stop. Let's just see how this goes and keep the inning going. But it's illegal for the base coach to touch the base runner while the ball is in play. So Timmy unfortunately can't tackle him. However, bottom of the eighth inning. Yes, sir. Like the days of Ron Davis and Rich Goose Gossage, the setup man for the Nationals last night was none other than Max Scherzer. And Scherzer would come in last night looking like a top-notch reliever.
And now Max has the sign from Suzuki. Over the head he goes. Into the wide. The pitch on the way. Swing and a miss. Struck him out. He went to the cutter and ran it in on the left-handed hitter to strike him out. First strikeout, first out of the inning.
Meanwhile, coming up next, as Lux goes down on strikes, Taylor steps into the box against Max Scherzer, and more of the same ensues.
Scherzer over the head into the wind, the 1-2 to Taylor. Swing and a miss. Struck him out with a slider. Two out, nobody on in the bottom of the eighth inning.
No doubt about it. You can hear the excitement building in Charlie Slow's voice. Well, guess what? Mad Max, for one inning, came in. It wasn't an immaculate inning, but it had immaculate results for the Nationals.
Scherzer over the head into the wind, and the pitch on the way. Swing and a miss. Struck him out with a cutter, and that retires the side. Max Scherzer out of the bullpen in the eighth inning, strikes out the side.
So the Nationals go to the ninth inning with a 4-2 lead, and, you know, you're never comfortable, especially in the playoffs, because, you know, your season at some point could eventually end here at any time. But Daniel Hudson coming in last night in the ninth inning and doing the deed, even though the bases at one point became loaded, Daniel Hudson said, wait a minute, it's time to bear down. And the former Old Dominion Monarch did just that last night.
Two balls, two strikes. Turner leading off third. Muncy off second and Smith off first. Hudson sets the kick, the 2-2 pitch. Swing and a miss. He struck him out with a slider. And a curly W's in the books. The Nationals have tied this National League Division Series at a game apiece as Daniel Hudson walks a tightrope in the bottom of the ninth inning. And the game is over. The Nationals on the field to celebrate a victory as they even the series here in Los Angeles.
And that's how we stand. 7:45 tomorrow night, Nats Park. Game 3 of the series. It's game on now because the road team has won a game. Yes, sir. The Nationals breaking through. And both National League Division Series ironically tied up at one game apiece. And maybe it's indicative of the quality and depth on the side of the National League. That both series right now are sitting there tied at one, as both series have today off. American League takes center stage all by itself today as the Yankees and Twins, Rays and Astros get together. And really not a whole lot of drama for the most part in those series. Yankees-Twins, we'll get to those games in the back half of the hour here. But, again, what you would expect from the Astros and the Yankees against those opponents, at least in game one of the series yesterday, as the American League got cooking. We'll review Cardinals and the Braves coming up as well. When we come back, we'll hear from the principals involved last night as the Nationals win game two of the series 4-2, in case you fell asleep late last night after that 9:37 first pitch. It's the Nationals play out on the West Coast. Nothing you can do about it. Four games on TV yesterday, and there's no chance they're playing a weeknight Friday night game in L.A. any earlier than that. And heck, if they could have done it later, they would have done it because of the traffic and everything, just trying to get to Dodger Stadium for the locals involved in that one. It's Nats First Pitch right here on Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. Big day here on Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. Virginia Tech, Miami, Caps and Hurricanes. So you get a lot of hurricanes here today, even though there isn't one in the area. There are no hurricane watches as of right now. Keep it tuned in. How about the Caps? Off to a great start. Four potential points on the road, and they've secured them all after a win last night against the Islanders. We'll have Caps and Hurricanes coming up tonight. Meanwhile, Davey Martinez and his Nationals tied at one game apiece after last night's 4-2 victory over the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Davey, still Scherzer in the next game, or are you changing plans on that?
No, we'll see. I talked to him now. I'm going to see how he feels tomorrow. I want to make sure he gets a night. He's working out right now, and we'll see how he feels tomorrow.
What's the alternative?
If not him, it'd probably be Sanchez.
Okay, and was there any thought of pitching him in the ninth?
No. I mean, I didn't want to pitch him in the ninth. When that ninth inning is a beast. You know, if you don't do it, it's tough, and Hudson's been our guy.
Is there a possibility that you could go with Sanchez and Corbin out of the bullpen in three, and then Max in four, and Stras in five?
Yeah, that's a good possibility. I mean, I'm going to sit back tonight and think about a bunch of different things and wake up tomorrow and get on a plane and think about a bunch of different things, and then we'll be ready to go.
How much of how the way the last three innings went was pre-planned? How much was it gut as the game went on?
Yeah, I talked to Max before the game. Today was his bullpen day, and we held him back. He said he was good to go. I told him, I specifically told him that I will not use him in the ninth, but I would have to probably use him the bridge, you know, the sixth, seventh inning. So, and that worked out good. I mean, Duke came in and did a great job. He came in and he was lights out, and then Hudson came in and finished the game.
Though you had that pre-planned, how close were you to scrapping that after he strikes out the side in the eighth?
Oh, trust me, I was biting my lip, scratching my head. But like I said, Huddy's been our guy. He's pitching big moments for us in the ninth, and I liked him right there. I didn't anticipate him walking Smith to get to Seager, but he pitched really well. I mean, he got the outs we needed.
You've been pitching Seager away all night, and you got him twice by coming back in with breaking balls late in the count. Who gets credit for that?
That's Zook. You know, Zook, he pays attention to detail, you know, and he has a game plan. Great job he did also with Stras the whole game, and also with, you know, with the rest of those guys coming in. I mean, I really liked what we did today.
Is this what you came here for, a split? I mean,
I like that we split. Yeah, after losing the first game, it's nice. Be a good flight home. So, you know, we'll have a day off tomorrow, and then come back and do it again at home.
Just the intentional walk in the ninth inning. You kind of just take me through the thought process there, and you know, just think about not.
There's really not much to think about. I mean, Muncy hit a ball 400 feet against Duke. We didn't want that to happen. He's a fastball hitter. We know that Hudson throws fastballs, so I like the other matchup.
How much have you and Riz talked about sort of extreme use of starting pitchers, because he saw Arizona win on a World Series with Schilling and Johnson doing unusual things?
You know, before the series started, before we even got to the playoffs, you know, our game plan was to try to utilize these guys the best way possible without disrupting, you know, their starts. And we've talked to all of them, and they've all been on board. So it's just part of it. You know, when you get to these games, I've said this before, you're playing to win one game, you know, and every day is crucial. So we had a chance to win today, and I told Max if the game's close, then, you know, we'll use you. So, and we did that.
Did you consider Stras for the seventh, or was there something in the sixth that you saw?
Yeah. He started getting the ball up a little bit, and I could tell he's taking a little bit more time in between pitches. And I thought that was it. He had enough. I mean, he just pitched three innings, you know, 2 days ago. So he did a great job for us.
Jamal,
how's Victor? What happened to Victor?
Yeah, he's got a little hamstring issue. They didn't diagnose it yet. We're going to see how he feels in the morning, but I think we'll have to play day to day right now.
Complex game. What are we not thinking to ask you that stood out to you as being important in this game?
The fact that we won. That was really nice. The guys just played well. You know, nobody talks about the ball that Rendon caught there at the end. That's a tough play. You know, the bunt that Adam Eaton put down to give us first and second, you know, that inning. I mean, that's those little things become huge in these kind of games.
So if I'm listening to you correctly, because if you had more confidence in the parts of your bullpen, you wouldn't have to be resorting to using your top starters in these spots. That's A, right?
Well, no, don't get me wrong, because, and I said this earlier today, takes 25 guys to win every day, right? We wouldn't be here. You take those 9 or 10 guys that were in the bullpen, guess what? We ain't winning any. We ain't winning very many games. I mean, those guys are a big part of why we're here. I mean, I've said this before. They've had their struggles, but they understand, you know, it's one game. You know, we play for one game. You know, our biggest emphasis all year was to go 1-0, and now it's that time. I mean, we're going 1-0 every day.
What do you think the cumulative effect of this will be if you go on deep into the playoffs?
Well, I mean, like I said, you know, we have to see where we're at. We have to see how much rest, you know, these guys have. But those guys in the bullpen, they understand. They got to pitch as well. So, and they get it.
The cumulative effect is this: it's the playoffs. You have to win 12 games to win a world championship. And when you have the opportunity to throw Max Scherzer at any point in one of those games, you do it. That's what Davey Martinez did last night. There is no tomorrow. If a bullpen guy makes a good pitch and a guy hits it out, Davey gets trashed for using one of the bullpen guys who gives up a home run, even though that bullpen guy may make a great pitch against a home run hitting team like the Dodgers. You have a chance to throw Max Scherzer, you do that. And he did it last night in a critical part of the game in the eighth inning. And Davey Martinez helped win his team the game by making that decision. And we know all managerial decisions, coaching decisions in any sport are always subject to second guessing. Many of you probably were wondering why he took Steven Strasburg out when he did. And he explained that there within the course of the post game. But last night, Davey Martinez went with one of his best guys, one of his best options. And remember, everybody but the starting pitcher is an option out of the bullpen when it comes to the playoffs. Steven Strasburg, simply sensational last night for the Nats. Six strong innings to help them to a 4-2 victory over the Dodgers.
Just how did you feel and how normal did this start feel after throwing that rope relief session a couple of days ago?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's playoff baseball and, you know, you kind of want to let the adrenaline take over and just go out there and compete.
Back row on the right.
Dave Roberts was talking about how effective your curveball was and said they probably didn't expect that many of them. Was it something that you felt you had pretty tightly on from the beginning tonight?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't execute some early and got away with them early on in the game, and my command of it got better as the game went on.
Third row, left side.
Can you just talk about your performance overall on how you were able to dominate the Dodgers tonight with your pitching?
I mean, you try and do your homework and, you know, look at their weaknesses a little bit, but you know, they're pretty deep lineup, so sometimes there's not many weaknesses there, and you just got to go out there and pitch to your strengths.
Back left?
Steven over here. In the back over here.
Oh, okay.
I think they were saying your career lifetime ERA in the postseason is now, you know, 0.64. You've done really well in these big, big moments, obviously just a couple nights ago in the wild card. What is it about the postseason when the pressure is the highest and the lights are the brightest that you're able to kind of hone in and succeed so much?
I've learned over the years that, you know, it's pressure's a funny thing, and I think it's something that you have complete control over. You know, there's obviously a lot of expectations, there's a lot of excitement in games, but I've really tried over the years to train my mind and to thinking that every single game is just as important, and you know, just sticking to my approach. I mean, my approach is everything. And the results are one thing, and how I respond to those results is just as important.
Straight back.
Steven, given your mound opponent, we all weren't expecting too many runs to score tonight. So how big was it for you? How important that you got those three quick ones off Kershaw?
Yeah, I mean, whenever you face a guy like that, you know that runs are going to be at a premium. So to get for the guys to go out there and give me a little cushion to work with was great. But at the same time, you know, you can't really pitch to the scoreboard. I've done that before in the past, and it hasn't really worked out well for me. So that was just another thing that I've learned along the way.
Back row on the right.
Starting pitchers and probably all athletes are creatures of routine in some way. When you're asked to break out of your routine in something like this, how much fun is it just to be able to you know, have a challenge like this. It's out of the ordinary.
Yeah, you know, I think it's I'm very routine oriented, and I would say, you know, my younger self would be a little bit alarmed by it, but now it's kind of at this point in my career, it's you know, you're exactly right. It's just another challenge.
We talked about it all year long as it pertains to Steven Strasburg. Every start, it's the maturation process of the pitcher that has allowed him to be filthy good this year for the Washington Nationals. And eventually, he has made that transition from very good to great pitcher. This year has certainly proven that to us, and his two postseason appearances so far have been absolute gems. That narrative now has been exhausted in terms of Steven Strasburg. He is indeed a great right-hander and showing why right now for the Washington Nationals, who are now tied one game apiece with the LA Dodgers. Games 3 and 4 here in D.C. Think about that. It's not out of the question. The opportunity is there that this series doesn't go back to L.A. Knock on wood. You can hear it. Knock on wood. I know this is wood underneath of here. It's just got this fancy plastic covering. The Nats have a chance to make sure that this series doesn't go back to L.A. L.A. does as well. I know the math obviously works both ways. But obviously for the Nationals, a terrific performance last night from Steven Strasburg to get the series even. We'll take a look at the other three series, which are all underway. We'll do that when we return. It's Nats First Pitch on Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. Time now to take you around the other games yesterday in Major League Baseball. And these series continue to get more and more interesting. Brian Snitker, who also has bullpen issues in Atlanta. They're not great either, okay? You start looking around a lot of these bullpens in Major League Baseball, everybody's got the same issue. We've expanded the game so much now. We've expanded the game so much that there's just not enough quality to go around for everybody. Very few teams have great depth of quality right now in the bullpen. And the Braves, every time they turn to theirs, their fans get nervous as well. What a story Mike Foltynewicz has become. Early this season, the guy had a tremendous year last year. This year, he was so bad early in the season, they sent him to the minors. But he's come back, and since then, strong second half for Foltynewicz. He and two relievers combining on a six-hitter as the Braves blanked the Cardinals yesterday, 3-0 in Game 2 of that division series in Atlanta. Foltynewicz struck out 7 while allowing just 3 hits, no walks over 7 innings. Max Fried, see? They went to a starter to bridge to the bullpen. Okay? Everybody does it in the playoffs. Fried was the bridge to Melanson, who each worked an inning. Melanson getting the save. Snitker said he couldn't have asked any more, though, of Foltynewicz in the 3-0 victory yesterday.
The biggest thing we needed, and I said that earlier in the day, is we needed a really strong start out of Folty, and we got it. And once he went through 7 innings in today's game, I mean, that's really good.
I love how in every sport, every player, their last name or first name gets shortened for a nickname, Folty. Foltynewicz comes up with a victory, by the way, Foltynewicz for the Braves starter yesterday. Jack Flaherty, of course, has been great for the Cardinals. He takes the loss, and Melanson, as we said, gets the save in that contest. Meanwhile, I was watching Houston and Tampa yesterday afternoon, and Tyler Glasnow and Justin Verlander over 4 innings. This was brilliant. I mean, both guys just mowing down guys for each side. But Verlander, the veteran, getting it done, striking out 8 over 7 innings of 1 hit, shutout ball. The Astros open up the ALDS with a 6-2 win over the Rays in Houston. Jose Altuve broke up a scoreless game with a 2-run homer and a 4-run 5th. And I'll say it again, the guy's 5'7", probably closer to 5'6". And he just hit a titanic home run to get this game going. Yordan Alvarez, Yuli Gurriel also with an RBI double each for the Astros to extend the lead to 6-0. Eric Sogard, Austin Meadows each had run-scoring hits in the 8th for Tampa. Glasnow took the loss. Houston hosts Game 2 coming up later on today. Verlander, the winner, and said he was getting stronger as the game went on.
You know, I guess just kind of rely on your instincts. You kind of feel out what's working well, what isn't. Reading swings on hitters. You know, I think as the game goes on, you have more information. That's kind of what I attribute it to.
So Verlander gets the job done for Houston, gets them off on the good foot yesterday, and Altuve said hitting a big home run in the first game of the series is always fun to do.
You know, I was a lot excited today, and it's good to have the first one out of the way. And I mean, I don't know, what can I say about that? I'm just going out there and trying to do my best.
And he always does. And again, as I say all the time, that guy's one of the smallest packages in all of Major League Baseball. Yet all he does is pound the baseball on a day-in and day-out basis. Meanwhile, in the Bronx, DJ LeMahieu, and I'm telling you, you go back and look at last year, last summer's free agent class, and this one doesn't get some of the publicity of maybe some of the others, but the DJ LeMahieu signing by the Yankees may have been as big as any in the offseason. He and Brett Gardner homered in the sixth. Yankees get by the Twins 10-4, first game of that series. Gleyber Torres, a two-run ground rule double in the fifth to give New York the lead. Tommy Connelly picked up the win in relief of James Paxton, who lasted just 4 2/3. Jorge Polanco, Nelson Cruz, both homering off the Yankees' southpaw starter. Zach Littell took the loss in the series opener. Minnesota lost its major league record 14th consecutive playoff defeat. 11 of those have come at the hands of the New York Yankees. And when the hire was made, a lot of people scoffed at the fact that Aaron Boone didn't have any managerial experience. But what he does have experience at, and what he did have experience at, was being in a dugout as a player. He had been on multiple rosters with multiple strong personalities through the years. All the guys done in New York now is win over 100 games each year, and his Yankees last night win game one of this ALDS. And oh, by the way, did you know the Yankees had 622 guys on the IL this year? I mean, it's been an amazing run by New York considering all the bodies they've had to use during the course of the season. It's been one of Major League Baseball's best stories, and I know we blow it off because it's the Yankees, and they're a big market team. But what they've done this year, despite all the injuries, has been fantastic. And with the way they can use their bullpen in the late innings, it gives Boone a lot of options now going into game two.
A little bit in that we felt like we could split it up the seventh, eighth, and ninth, and kind of wanted Greeny's potential length for tomorrow as well.
And I think Aaron Boone's job in New York has been very, very underrated with the quality that he has given them so far. As the Yankees win it, they scored 10 runs on only 8 hits in the contest yesterday. But again, DJ LeMahieu has been, every dollar they spent on him in the offseason has been a good one. And Brett Gardner has been a Yankee now, I believe it's 12 years. And that guy just keeps on trucking, keeps on going, and continues to play good baseball for the Yankees year in and year out. And that's another guy, kind of like Altuve. When you look at Brett Gardner, if you're sitting there, you know, just like we used to do on the playground, and you're going to, you know, play pickup baseball, and you're going to, you know, pick this guy, and I'm going to pick that guy. Brett Gardner, when you look at him, he's probably one of the last guys you're going to pick. But then when you watch him play, by far he's going to be one of the first guys that you pick because he plays so hard, competes so much at the plate, and as we famously saw earlier this year, Aaron Boone said his guys were you-know-what savages at the plate. That's one of the greatest tirades I've ever seen. But that's a guy, and that's why the guys play so hard for Aaron. Aaron goes so hard for them. And that's why the Yankees, despite all these injuries, still went over 100 games, jump on top of the Twins. Astros still have to be the overwhelming favorite in my mind in the American League playoffs because of the pitching depth that they have, especially in that starting rotation. But what the Yankees have done, I know they are the team that everybody loves to hate because of the money through the years they've spent. And that narrative, you know, certainly has been a little bit different under Hank Steinbrenner as opposed to what it was under George, who would sign any free agent at any time, regardless of the amount of money. But you got to give credit where credit is due, and the Yankees have certainly earned that. How about this? Last week, Randy Dobnak got married in Maryland, and now he's pitching for the Twins in this series. And, you know, it's funny to watch these guys that end up with local ties. Kolarik, who comes in basically in the Dodgers-Nats series to pitch against Juan Soto, he's from Catonsville, and he's a Maryland native as well. So when you see him out there on the mound, he's likely to have some folks in the stands here at Nats Park over the next couple of days, because now the Nats and Dodgers coming back to D.C., and the Nats and Dodgers are tied up at one game apiece. 7:45 is Sunday night first pitch time. Monday's game four has not been determined as of yet, and it will only be determined as a result of how many games there will be on Monday based on what series still may be going. Now, as far as I've counted, because the Braves won, that series is guaranteed to go four, so that'll likely be a little bit of a later starting time. One had it in the 5 o'clock hour, another 6 o'clock hour on Monday was what was under speculation. So I would imagine Nats Dodgers is going to be in the 6 o'clock hour, around 6:45 on Monday, but they will make that official coming up, and we'll keep you up to date here on The Fan. That'll do it for us. It's been a pleasure as always, and hopefully we'll talk to you again next week for Nats First Pitch right here on Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.